13th parak. Last time we learned some really beautiful things. If you remember, we spent last time going through that lengthy passage in the Zohar, in Parshas Va'aloscha, where the Zohar says you'd be a fool to look at the Torah and think that you're just reading stories. You'd be a fool to look at the Torah and think that you're just getting a history lesson. And you'd be foolish, and you'd also be entitled, if that's all Torah was, to write your own Torah. And the Zohar went on to explain that the Torah is layers and layers and layers, and a foolish person sees it as nothing other than stories, but really every word of it is filled with unbelievable secrets. We spoke about how the Torah has a garment, and the same way that angels could only come to this world wearing some type of garment, as the angels appear to Avram Avinu. So obviously the Torah, which is even more holy, has to envelop itself in garments. But a smart person is able to realize that there's a beautiful Torah beneath the garments. Right, in the same way that our body is a garment to the neshama, so the Torah is the garment, so to speak, to everything that's contained within it. And we spoke about different layers. We spoke about a garment and a body and a neshama and a neshama of a neshama, right? Different layers of Torah. And woe to the individual who doesn't realize that. And then we ended by quoting the Gemara at the end of Maseches Megillah. Why is it that a person who touches the Sefer Torah with their bare hands is considered to have done a gross violation of Torah? And the reason is because our physical body is not able to touch the Torah. Because if we were to say that we could grasp the Torah with our bare hands, it would imply that the Torah is something that we can hold, and we can't really hold it. We can only encounter it through garments, which is why we touch the Sefer Torah with a garment. We use our talis, we use the gartel, whatever it is, but we don't feel worthy of touching the Torah with our bare hands, because we recognize that our connection to Torah is really, first and foremost, only through the garments of Torah, with the knowledge and the awareness and the respect to realize that there's many, many layers. And part of the way we show that respect is by not pretending that we can grasp the Torah in our hand. Okay, so says the Maharal, this plays into an interesting halacha that the Gemara teaches us about, and that's called Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. What is the idea? What is the pnimius? What is the deeper message behind reading the Parsha twice and studying it with either Targum or Rashi, right? Ideally Targum. Many people use Rashi, and there's certainly Al Pi Halacha. There's a lot to talk about how to do Shnayim Mikra. But what's the idea of reading the Torah twice with its interpretation? Ubeperakama de Brachos, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Ami. La'olam yashlim adam parshiosa v'matzibor. A person should always complete the parsha with the tzibor, shnayim mikra v'chatargum, and afilu ataros v'dibon. Even this phrase that appears at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, which seemingly is the name of a place and cannot be translated, although if you look, there's a big discussion. Perhaps there is a targum Yerushalmi, and maybe that's what it's saying. But you know, why ataros and dibon is selected as the example is a good question. But what the Gemara is saying is that even names of places that seemingly can't be translated, right? My name is Moshe, and my name in another language would still be Moshe. So even the name of a city, Ataros V'Dibon, that also needs to be studied twice with a targum. Why? Anyone who completes the Parsha twice with the translation will have a lengthening of days and a lengthening of years. Okay, what's the pshat? Says the Maharal, Ubi your inyan zeh, Sheyesh leTorah gimel madregos. Read the Torah twice with the translation alludes to three layers, three levels of Torah. Hamadrega ha'achas, madrega ha'niglis l'chol adam. There's obviously the simplest level of interpretation of Torah. It can be translated into English. It is filled with laws and stories. And, you know, it could even, I don't know, you go to a hotel and you open up your drawer and you pull out an edition of the Bible. It's available to anyone and everyone. It's the most highly sought after best-selling book of all time. Anyone could read the Bible. Okay, that's level one. Hamadrega hashein is hua nister b'Torah. But of course, not everyone could read the Torah and understand what it's really saying. The second level is the nistar, the hidden dimension of Torah. Not just a literal translation or a simple understanding of Torah, but the hidden dimensions of what the Torah is expressing. She'eino muvan rak lechachamim ulenavonim. And obviously only someone who studies Torah in a proper way understands what the Torah is truly saying. The same way in any relationship. If we think of the Torah as a relationship with Hashem, so the same way that someone could say something And to an outsider, it's understood one way. But to a close family member, there's a certain understanding of what's being alluded to. So too, when we have a close relationship with Hashem, we understand the Torah in a deeper way. But then there's a layer of Torah that no matter how much you study, and no matter how deep you delve, you'll never understand it. Hamadrega hashlishis hu sheyesh b'Torah dvarim moirim al olam hava. There's a dimension of Torah that is something beyond this world. Like the Zohar told us last time, that there's a neshama of the neshama. Even if we were to discover the neshama of Torah, it's only in the future that we'll see that even the neshama was a garment to an even deeper neshama, to an even deeper dimension. There's an element of Torah that corresponds, as it were, to Olam Haba. And the same way that we don't know anything about Olam Haba, we don't really understand what it is. V'davar ze lo yusag l'shum adam. No person can truly grasp it. Ki ayin lo ra'asa elokim zu lasecha. Like the Navi Yeshaya says, because no eye has seen it other than you, Hashem. No one has ever truly experienced it. V'chol en evram lo ra'u rak olam haza. We've only seen this world, lo olam haba. Shu od yoser b'mayla, sha'alav namar ayin lo rasa elokim zu lasecha. Right? No eye has seen it besides you, God Himself. V'chol ha'neviim lo ra'u rak olam haza. And even the prophets only saw things of this world. They were never able to see the next world. Right? Some versions say nevra'im, some versions say neviim over here. Okay. U'lefichach yesh likros ha'torah shnayim ikra v'chatargum. So when I study the Torah, now, what do you think the highest level is? So the Maharal is actually going to go in two different directions, as we'll see. And I never knew this. What he says here is quite, I think there's a lot to unpack here. Especially in light of the Yom Tov HaChanukah, Abba Aleinu Letova. There's definitely big secrets he's hinting to here. But let's see, let's read the words first. U'lefichach yesh likros ha'torah shnayim ikra v'chatargum. Targum, the translation of the Torah, not even in the Lashon HaKodesh, when it's not even in its true original form, Targum represents the most revealed aspect of Torah. Sharei HaTargum hu HaLashon SheHakol Yodim. Right, that's why sometimes you have statements in, even in Pirkei Avos, which is mostly in Hebrew, so you have some Mishnayos, certain core concepts that are actually conveyed by the Tanaim in Aramaic. And some of the Mefarshim explain on Pirkei Avos because Aramaic was the language of the average person, more so than Hebrew. And therefore, certain ideas wanted to be expressed in a way that it was, even more inviting to the average reader. So Targum is the language that everyone knows. Targum is the most simple understanding of Torah. And then Shnayim Mikra, then we read the Torah twice in its true Lashon HaKodesh, in the language of Hashem. Shnayim Mikra, ha'echad amadrega shehi lechachamim. One time we read it, it alludes to the layer that the level of understanding that Chachamim can understand. And Hasheni, but then we read it a second time. And the second time is the time where we read it. It's funny, sometimes people, when they do Shnayim Mikra, so the first time they're actually reviewing the parsha, the second time they're kind of just like saying the words, almost with no intention of understanding anything. And actually, in an ironic kind of way, it's almost the point here, right? It's almost like I'm not supposed to understand anything. It's alluding to a dimension that I can't understand. Hasheni hu amayla yoser elyon hu pnimi she'ein l'shum adam hasagas olam haba. The second time I read it in Lashon HaKodesh, I'm saying as much as I understood, there's an infinite more that I don't understand. There's something pnimi, there's something deeper, there's something olam haba, something that I've never seen before. V'zesha amar, and therefore we understand when the Gemara tells us, kol amashlim parshi Yosef, shnayim mikra v'echa targum, ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnosov. So therefore, why is it dafka that a person who does shnayim mikra v'echa targum is given a long life? And it's not just a long life, it's yamav u'shnosov. His days and his years will be increased. What does that mean? What that means is, ki min olam haba, shesham arichas yamim v'shamim, Ba'am lo arichas yamim v'shamim. By studying the Torah in an olam habadik way, the dimension of Torah that I cannot possibly understand, a person in doing that will get as a reward a eternal life, arichas yamim v'shamim, not only in this world, but in the world to come, right? What the Maharal calls in other places, chayim be'emes, true life, real life, ultimate life. V'chein ha'adam gam kein yeshlo madregos elu. So again, one of the themes we've been developing is how the Torah parallels Adam. Whatever is true about Torah is true about us. And whatever is true about us is reflection of something in the Torah. So a person also has three layers. There's the person as you see them on the outside, right? The physical body of a person. Hasheni, haneshama, hanelemes. Then there's a dimension of the person which is concealed, but you can get to know it. If you study it, if you take it seriously, if you're a chacham, if you try to understand the inner workings of a neshama, then you can get to know the neshama. Again, it's not revealed, it's not obvious, but with a little effort, a person can uncover something deeper. But there's an element of a person, there's the olam haba, kol yisrael yesh lehem chelek l'olam haba, right? It doesn't say that you're going to get a portion. Yesh lehem, you already have a chelek l'olam haba. There's a part of you that's olam habadik. V'ashlishi madrega sheyesh ba'adam, shu muchan olam haba. There's a part of self that just like you've never seen olam haba, there's a depth of self that we've never experienced, that we don't know. As much as I know myself, there's a part of myself that I don't know, that I can't know. And this is what the Chachamim say in the Medrash, in describing the creation of man. The Pasuk says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim. And you'll notice it's spelled with two yuds. And the Gemara, the Medrash rather, darshans, Shtei Yitziros, a dual creation, Achas Ba'olam Haza, Va'achas Ba'olam Haba. Man was created twofold, once for this world and once for the world to come, which itself is an amazing thing. And the Maharal is about to allude to it. How could it be that I exist in this world and I exist in Olam Haba? How could it be that right now we're here and eventually we're going to be there? If there is so different than here, if here is so different than there, how could I exist here and also one day exist there? Right? And I'm talking about the essential I. I'm not just talking about, we say, my guf is here, my neshama is there. It's not a contradiction. But the whole package that is me, the guf, the neshama, the dimensions I know and the dimensions I don't know, are in this world, and part of that me is also going to be in the next world. So that's this Shtei Yitziros, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim. Hashem created a person with his duality, once in this world, once in the world to come. V'zehu Madrega Achrona. V'akol B'koach Bria Zos, V'hu Tselem Elokim, Shenever Bo Adam. And which part of me is the part of me that allows me to have access to the world to come? It's the Tselem Elokim of a person. It's the divine reflection that a person has within himself that serves sort of as that bridge between both being alive in this world and also returning to one source, returning to that divine source from which we come. Something the Maharal talks about in other places as well, the relationship between the Tzelem Elokim of a person and Olam Haba. The Tzelem Elokim of a person is also, it's very hard to describe what it is. It's a reflection of something, but I you know, like when you see your own reflection on a sunny day on the ground, it sort of has the tracing of the person, but obviously it's hard to express what it is. It's hard to get to know a person through their shadow. So Olam Haba also, we have a sense of what it is, but we don't really know what it is. And again, this relationship between Tzelem Elokim and Olam Haba is reflected within man and within the universe is something that I speak about elsewhere, says the Maharal.
See, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go, jump in, please.
Is he saying that we have a little bit of Olam Haba in ourselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question. That's the Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba, even in this world. There's an amazing Gemara, of course. There's a Gemara that says, it's in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says that one of the Tanayim said this lashon of bracha, Olamecha tira bechayecha. It's such a beautiful line. Olamecha, your world, tira, you should see bechayecha in your lifetime. Well, obviously, this world, I see it every day. Olamecha, your world to come, you should be able to experience it in this world. In other words, I think you're right. There's an element of Olam Haba that is here in potential inside of us. We can't really grasp it. The same way I can't touch a Sefer Torah with a bare hand. But I'm finding ways to interact with it, right? I'm trying to get to know it, even though I can't fully grasp it in this world. But that's sort of these three levels. There's the guf, which is the part of myself which is entirely superficial. There's this olam haba within myself, the tzelem elokim, which I can't fully get to know. And then there's neshama, sort of this middle level, which sort of serves as a bridge between these, you know, between the revealed and between the most concealed. And that's the part that with a lot of work I can develop and I can get to know and I can kind of prepare, you know, prepare for what's to come, even though I don't fully get what it is. But for sure, I think that's what he's saying. There's an olam haba within a person. Yeah. V'yoser nira v'hu nachon. So let's do one more Gemara. He says, perhaps we could go one step further. Kimi lamata lamala. Right? Maybe we could say it in the other direction as well. In other words, we just said that Targum is the lowest level because everyone speaks Targum. Right? It was the language of the Jews of exile of Bavel. Right? And then there's Lashon HaKodesh, a level of understanding. And then there's Lashon HaKodesh beyond. Right? The word Kodesh, as we learned in earlier Prakim, means Nivdal, totally separate, abstract, totally beyond. But says the Maharal, let's go in the other direction. Maybe Targum, and again, I think there's a lot of secrets here. Targum maybe is the highest level. How could that be? Ki atargum hu lamayla elyona. Maybe Targum is the highest. Shnayim mikra ve'echad Targum, maybe as it's presented in the Gemara, Shnayim mikra, climbing upwards, and then echad Targum, hi madregas olam haba. Maybe Targum is olam haba. Very deep. How is Targum olam haba? V'zeh ki atargum eino nechshav lashon klal. Because the truth is, Targum is not even really a language. What does he mean by that? Kamo she'amru, as the Gemara in Megillah says, based on a pasuk in Yeshaya, v'yichrati lebavel sheim usha'ar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'yichrati lebavel sheim usha'ar, the Gemara darshins, elu kastim she'ein lahem ksav v'lashon. They don't have a true ksav or a true lashon. What does that mean? The kastim. I've explained elsewhere. Ki lashon arami shuhu lashon bavel eino nechshav lashon. First of all, just think about bavel. Bavel obviously is, you know, Babylonia. But what is bavel? Bavel, the word bavel, right? The word itself. Think about the migdal bavel. What happened to those people? All of their languages were mixed up. So the language of bavel, the language of Aramaic, the language of Targum, is not really a language. It's some type of mixture. It's mububal. It's bavel. It's a bilbul. It's a mixture of many different languages, and it's not actually counted as one of the shivim lashonos. It's not one of the 70 essential languages that we speak about, the 70 nations and the 70 languages. Bavel is not the language of bavel. Aramis, right? Aramaic is not really considered a lashon. It's not a true mode of communication. And therefore what? If it's not real speech. Well, speech is a very lofty thing. But maybe there's something higher than speech. Maybe it transcends speech. Maybe it can't be spoken about the same way that Olam Haba can't really be spoken about because we don't have the words to talk about Olam Haba. Where does the Torah... This is the famous question of the Kli Yakar in Parshas Bechukosai. Why does the Torah not talk about Olam Haba? How could it be the Torah never talks about Olam Haba? It's such a pella. I think the Kli Yakar gives 12 answers to that question. How could it be there's no Olam Haba in the Torah? What do we say in Shema? If we say Shema, and if you keep the Torah and mitzvos, then I'll make it rain in the proper season. That's Olam Haza. I'll make sure that your crops are successful. That's Olam Haza. Where's the Olam Haba? Where does the Torah talk about Olam Haba? Right, it comes up over in Parshas Bechukosai, because the Pasuk says, Hisalachti besochechem. I will walk with you. So Rashi says, "Atayel imachem beGan Eden." I'll walk with you in Gan Eden. So the Kli Yakar jumps on it, and Kli Yakar's like, "Wait, by the way, why does the Torah never talk about Gan Eden? I mean, it talks about Gan Eden in Bereshit, but why does the Torah never talk about what happens after? And anytime the Torah is promising rewards, it sounds like Hashem is offering us promises of this world. And part of the answer is one of the answers the Rishonim give that the Kli Yakar quotes." Is that we don't have the word. You can't, because you can't say pshat in Olam Haba, it can't be in the Torah. It doesn't exist on a level of pshat. There's no pshat in Olam Haba. The whole thing is a sod. The whole thing is a secret. So only things in the Torah that can be explained in pshat and remez and drush and sod, layer upon layer, can be in the Torah. But Olam Haba, there's no pashat pshat in Olam Haba. It's so beyond. So therefore, maybe a language which is not even a language represents Olam Haba. I think that's such a deep idea. And when you don't have something that can be expressed in words, so where does it exist? It exists in the realm of thought. I think about it, I catch myself daydreaming about it, but I can't really have an intelligent conversation about it because I don't know what it is.
Lakach echad targum.
Says the Maharal, the Echa Targum, after I did Shnai and Mikra, I read it the simple way, I try to understand it deeper, and then I almost throw off language as a way of saying I can't even talk about it. That's Targum. That's the highest level. Machshava, again, my mouth is lower down than my brain, indicating that my brain is a little closer to the heavens. It's a little bit more beyond. Okay, so two different ways to learn Shnai and Mikra Vecha Targum. Okay, last but not least. Va'od, she'ein malachi hasharis mevinim zeh halashon. The language of Targum is also a mysterious language in the sense that the Gemara tells us angels don't speak Aramaic. That's part of the reason some of the Sefer Chassidus explain. When we begin the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we start off Holach Ma'anya. Why are we speaking in Aramaic? So some say, well, it's the language of regular people. We're trying to invite people in, right? We're trying to kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol, right? We're speaking to the rovam, to the regular people. But some explain, no, we're actually setting the tone for this night. This is a night where the angels want to be a part of the Seder. They want to sit in and listen in on the conversation between Kutcher Brichu and Knesset Yisrael. And we start the conversation in Aramaic as if to say to the angels, as lofty as this night is, you're not welcome here. This night is beyond you. So the angels don't understand Aramaic. It represents a certain depth of Aramaic, a certain secret language between a Jew and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The angels don't understand the Aramaic. Sherei Amru, the Gemara says in Shabbos Yud Beis, Yisrael Sheshol Tzarcho V'Loshon Arami, Ein Malachi Asharis Nizkakin Lo, She'einu Loshon Malachim. That if a Jew asks, makes his requests, he davens in Aramaic, the angels are not able to get involved, because it's not a language of angels. V'lakach pam shlishis, hu targum, hu keneged olam haba. It's a place that what? That the angels, as high as they are in the higher realms, but olam haba is a realm that's way beyond the angels. It's a place of Klal Yisrael. Ki hu keneged olam haba, she'ein shaykh lemalachim olam haba. Ki im li Yisrael, kamo shehu yadua. Olam haba is the unique place that the Jew will return his soul to be with Hashem. Place that's even beyond the angels. V'hu davar mevu she'in safek b'zeh klal l'mishi odeya b'razei Torah v'nizba'er b'makom acher. And again, this is something that I explain further elsewhere. But again, the Maharal is just continuing to highlight that there are layers upon layers. There are layers within ourselves, and there are layers within Torah. And the job of a Jew is to try to continue to dig deeper and deeper and deeper, to better understand myself and my relationship with Hashem through the Torah, and to always know that there's going to always remain, again, a part that I can't touch, a part that I can't really grasp with my bare hand. Okay? All right, I guess we'll stop here for tonight. Mirtz Hashem, Sunday I have a wedding, but it's an earlier wedding, so Mirtz Hashem will continue Sunday night at 9 p.m., and we'll wrap up this 13th parak. Okay? Any